Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 734. I am Chris, and Tony will be joining us at some point. But as always, I'm joined by Earl.
I mean, it's always with Tony, and Tony's not here. Where is he? As for me, you know, it's like a Saturday night on a Thursday night, but I have returned after a very few confusing few weeks, but I am back. Yay.
And we're happy to have you back. Missed you. But, yeah, so you weren't here. Were you not here the last 2 weeks?
No, I think I was here. I was not here last week. I was here the week before.
Okay. Yeah. You and Jeff had played a little bit of the Rogue Prince of Persia at that point.
Yeah.
So Twisted Metal, the TV show, season 2, has come and gone. And before we jump into that, Jeff has arrived.
Hello. I'm hey. Here in the dark in my room because the bulb just died.
Oh. Like, why are you sitting in the dark? Yeah. I mean, I guess if the bulb died, that checks out.
I don't even know if we have a replacement and fucking...
Yeah, it's fine.
I'd have to unscrew the... It's like on a ceiling fan. I'd have to unscrew the thing covering the bulb. I'm going to sit in the dark. Oh.
So it's kind of a project to change the light.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least you have the glow of your computer monitor.
True.
To keep you company. Nice blue glow. Yeah, so Twisted Metal season 2 has come and it is gone. It was a pretty quick season. I think 4 weeks.
Yeah. Kudos to them.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they knew that. I hope they knew that because they did seem to plan the show around essentially, I think it was two, three episodes.
Yeah.
And like the episodes, the weeks of two episodes. The second episode always ended with like a car combat stage. So I think the first week was the primaries. The second week was the actual, like you had to get a package to the finish line. I forget what the other ones were. But yeah, and then this week they ended, I think episode 9 was the one that had the big finale, and then episode 10 is kind of like the happy ending until it's not.
Yeah. So. We both watched it now. Interested to hear how you came out of it. Did you enjoy season 2 of Twisted Metal?
I did enjoy season 2. I think the show strikes a nice balance between like what it's going for, which is kind of the absurd absurdity of the world and the universe, and you know, giving you some good action. I will say, as people pointed out, it is also very funny at times because it is Twisted Metal to a degree, but there are times a lot of times actually where, oh, we can't afford this, so we're just gonna get people out and fight like normal fighting because we can't afford this scenic. I mean, I don't know if it's the intention, but it feels like it. There's one episode or one of the challenges in particular where they are driving in a lightning storm, and I'm just like, you're doing this so it's just a sound stage. You don't have to worry about the environment or anything and drive around there in a very safe and confined area. I enjoyed it. I don't know if it's as strong as season 1, I think that there's a lot of characters that need to balance, and some of them don't get as much. The first season with John Quiet as the focus, you got to move from pace to pace. Here you're kind of in the same pace, but it means that you're kind of just pushing the plot forward and not necessarily always the characters.
Yeah. And then some of these characters, they kill off, so they spend time kind of introducing them, and then they're done by the end of the season, so it's not,
But
again, not as useful.
They couldn't cut off some of them because Todd, like, there's a lot of Todd armor because the whole thing this season, I'm like, oh, there's like very much that we need to, what am I trying to say? They're very much trying to say that everybody's supposed to die because this is the ultimate challenge. And then like half of the actual competitors end up living through some random means. So they're still a winner for the contest, but like half of the people in the challenge, spoilers, I guess, are not dead.
Right. Yeah. I'm interested to see where they go with it for season 3.
Yeah.
Because everything kind of built up to what this was, you know, in season 2, which was the actual Twisted Metal tournament. And that's over now. So interested to see what they do next. But I enjoy John and Quiet. And
I'd also like to say it's also funny because it feels like, and I could be wrong, it feels like the show implied that somebody created, or maybe not created, but used the apocalypse to basically do a reality TV show.
Yeah, it is very much implied that Calypso may have caused the apocalypse because he was rejected for this car combat TV show that he wanted to do. Very goofy kind of plot line that they threw in there, but fun stuff.
Yeah. Yes. And again, and that's what I mean by this show and its really weird sense of humor.
It's a very horny show at times, too.
Yeah, so. I think we talked about that early on with I forget when it was. It's maybe the second week where they do the orgy.
Yeah. Right before the tournament actually started.
Yes. Oh, right, because that's when they go get the weapons.
Yep.
Yes. And I mean, I'm happy for them, but I think like half of John and Quiet is either sexual innuendo or them having sex. I do like the whole thing, like, oh, you know, again, growing up in the apocalypse, where like, who knew sex would be so much better than a bed bit that they had at one point. But yeah, again, I think it's a good show. It's an enjoyable show. I think good would vary for people, in terms of it, like pure being like, this isn't The Last of Us, and that I don't think this is going to be up for any awards, but it's still a ton of fun to watch. So
yeah, it's not premier television, but it's fun. I think it's good in that respect. I enjoyed watching it, so
yeah.
Jeff, you did not watch any of Twisted Metal, correct?
No. Have you guys been watching the Alien Earth? Were we discussing that on here?
Oh, we did when it started, and I have.
I just caught up.
That's yeah, was interesting. Are you behind on that one, Earl?
No, I'm caught up now.
Yeah, so this last episode was basically like a big flashback episode.
I know. Yeah. Everyone was hyping it up so much, and when it started, I got so mad because I hate flashback episodes.
But it's good, but yeah, it is. It's very much just like a, you know.
It should have been the first episode.
I think so too. Because there was no reason. Because it's not like it's flashing back to set up anything. It's really flashing back to tell you where you started the show.
Yeah.
4 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago. Because I think the first week was 2 episodes.
I said by the end of the episode, I was like, I get why people like the episode. It is really good.
Oh, it's a fun episode.
Yeah.
The only piece of information I get that we really got out of it, though, is that the Prodigy guy was...
He set it up, the crash.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. I did not realize that the black dude, the security officer,
mm-hmm.
was partly human.
I think
that kind of filled that out for me.
He's a cyborg, yeah.
Yeah. I just assumed he was a robot because he's so fucking cold-blooded. But then, like, in this episode, they had, like, flashbacks of him with his daughter, and he was crying at one point. I was like, oh, this guy is human. Yeah, he's just cyborg.
Yeah, I thought they explained that when he got back to Earth.
They may have.
When not maybe explained it, but, like, when he called them to say he had lost the target. Because, like, yes, it is also, I mean, again, if you look back to the first episode, spoilers, I guess, for the show as well. We're introduced to him, and it's like him doing the synthetic thing that they did in Alien, which is him basically leaving the human to die as the xenomorph is attacking it. And that, but you see that set up now, and it's actually kind of fascinating because he kind of gets the Rippy thing in this episode where he's basically telling these people, like, you're being idiots, and they're the ones being like, no, no, we have to do this, we have to test. It's like, no, like, the protocol is to freeze all these things, do the protocol, and, but yes, you know, like, they did, but it's an interesting show. It is also, I am also very fascinated in it, in that I think it, because I think so much of the Alien franchise, at least the really, really, really good ones, are built around the idea of them being trapped in a spaceship or being trapped somewhere, that it's nice to actually see one that explores, like, what was, like, one, like, they actually have a method to catch and tame the xenomorphs. So it's not just them being greedy, but also that they, like, what are you going to do once you capture these things? And I'm actually happy that we get to see them, like, testing it out and its durability and stuff like that. And having, like, I think in this episode, they introduce, like, he has, like, the electric gun that is able to kind of freeze it for a bit.
Yeah, it stuns it. They use that, I believe it was in the second episode, where he kind of, like, shocks the xenomorph, yeah, and then throws, like, a netting over it.
Yes, yeah, the netting was really cool, too, that, like, being able to kind of immobilize it for a bit.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool, but yeah, seeing the weapons that they had developed, so it also kind of begs the question, because this is a prequel, why was none of this like on the Nostromo or any of the other ships that they ventured into?
So I think my understanding of it is that this was a science ship that was, like, designed to go out and collect, like, alien critters and shit. Mm-hmm. The Nostromo was a mining ship that
they just got forced to do an extra job on the way back, I think.
Yeah, they were diverted to,
probably because of the way this shit all went down, you know, the other corporations stole their fucking property.
But you would think that, oh, we would equip these ships just in case with something.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I'm really enjoying it. I do.
Yeah,
love,
it's good.
I love the Alien franchise, and this is top tier Alien stuff.
Yeah, so. It is. It really is. It's, like, better than most of the movies.
Not top tier Alien stuff. Looks like Kronos: The New Dawn is getting, like, middling reviews.
It looks good to me. I don't know.
Yeah, you asked me about it, Jeff, and I was like, I think I'm going to wait on it, though, because, like, those reviews came out, and, like, it's been all over the place. Some people really, really like it, and some people are less into it, so I think I might hold on that one. What was that, Earl?
Sometimes that's what you want. You don't necessarily always want everybody to agree with everything.
True.
I want everybody to agree with me at all times.
But that's you, and that does not surprise me.
It's like a lot of people are, like, complaining about some of the frustrating combat and repetitive level design, and so I'm like, I you know, at $70, I can wait.
I get more for me just has to do with, like, there's so many games that I'm playing right now that I'm just like,
yeah,
I can wait too, probably, like. So give me something to play down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A big game that came out today or anything.
Is anybody that has no reviews yet? But is anybody going to play Hollow Knight Silksong?
I did.
Did you?
5 minutes.
Is it more Hollow Knight?
Yeah, it seems that way. So I played it. I got the first boss and died. And I just have so many games going that I was like, well, this ain't going anywhere. And
yeah,
I'll get to it. It doesn't help that, you know, I'm playing a 2D game right now that I feel has way better action than it. So it's just like, also, I gotta like, what is the deal with fucking, like, why? I just don't get it. Like, I don't get why Hollow Knight is so well regarded in like a pretty crowded genre that has lots of good, like, why is it loved so much more than like Ori? I don't get it. Like, I genuinely, like, playing it, I'm like, I don't know. I think Ori's better. I think Ori has better graphics and better gameplay. Like, is anyone else like stumped by this? Like, because I just don't get, like, the love for this game is like insane.
I'm with you on that. Go ahead, Earl.
I was gonna say, I assume it's the kind of the Soulsborne thing where people enjoy it because it's hard.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. I just don't, like, I played 30 hours of that first one. I thought it was good, but, like, the obsession with it is just, like, perplexing to me. I'm like, okay, man, it's a decent, like, one of those games. I don't get what puts it so far above, like, any other example of the genre. Because, like, to me, it's not. Like, it's just, it's okay. Like, it's too hard.
I would rather play either of the Ori's over this, but.
So did you try it?
I've not played Silksong. I have played the original Hollow Knight, and I reinstalled it this week and was like, maybe I'll give it another go to see if it clicks this time around. But I did not put 30 hours into it. I think I have like 8 or 10 into it.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like it. Like, just gets like the bosses are aggressively hard. Dying comes at like a giant penalty. It did not feel great to me.
Okay, and so yeah, not there's crazy.
There's so many games like this that it's like, why do I need to bang my head against it?
Yeah, that's kind of where I am with it. Like, yeah, it's fine, but it's like annoyingly hard at points and. I don't know. Maybe if I played it all the way, it would have clicked better. But when I played with this new one, I was just like, okay, yeah, it might be good, but I'm playing other games right now and enjoying them, so I'll be back.
Or maybe won't, because like we are now we're into game season, so lots of stuff coming out over the next little bit. New Silent Hill at the end of the month, and so there's stuff coming. Something is not coming till next year though. Earl, tell us about the new 007 game that had a state of play Sony put on.
A state of play, yes. So it was what about 35 minutes of James Bond gameplay, and it looks like a Hitman game with some Uncharted mixed in. Did anybody else watch the showcase?
I didn't get a chance to yet, no.
Tony, Jeff?
No.
Okay, so...
I watched a little of it, but I didn't...
Okay. I think what you folks would do is probably... Because I watched it live. And like the first like 10 minutes is him driving around, having chatter with another person, then him like, you know, getting his mission and walking around, which again, and the driving around stuff was like all kind of like a cutscene. And I'm like, this is the weird way to kind of start your gameplay presentation. I get that you're going into like, this is what a mission is going to be. This is going to be the setup. But like, just having somebody drive and talk is not the most exciting way to get somebody into it. So they get into that. So eventually you have to break into this hotel. Again, it's kind of like Hitman when you set up some Rube Goldberg mechanics where there's some guards in a chase, and except only chase, you set off the sprinklers, one goes to check on it. So you sneak behind the other one who has his back to you, sneak around him, you twank him, you jump into a window, and you know, you go around, you talk to people. The good thing, and I don't think they showed a ton of it in this, is it does seem like there are different ways to interact with people in terms of communication. Like you can smooth talk people, you can try to like spy on people and get information, you can just try to be aggressive. So I'm kind of curious to see how that plays out. Then they went into the actual kind of gameplay of it. So they showed off a car chase, and it's, again, like this is kind of like the gameplay aspect of it outside of the cell. This is where it kind of feels like Uncharted, where it's like a car chase, but it feels like it's very kind of scripted and that, oh no, if I drive, oh, this thing's going to come out of the way, I have to swerve. And it's like, of course you're going to have to swerve because this thing's going to come out the way all the time. You have a passenger with you who's saying, go left, go right, fast, and they're getting away. The physics and the laws of how this actual went, I don't know how this car was so far ahead, whatever. And it's fine. Nothing mind-blowing. Then they get to the airport, and then this is where you have the shootout, and the shootout is very reminiscent of like Uncharted in that era. It's, you know, it's like cover-based. I think you have a pistol. The Walter PPK, I think it's his pistol. I forget if that's what they said he had. And then, you know, you take out enemies, you can take their weapons. This is a video game as video game. So the airport, as all airports should, just have these giant glowing red explosive barrels that you shoot and they blow up and they take people out. And then, oh man, there's a bunch of enemies. Oh man, there's like three containers of fuel right underneath them. Whatever should I do? So of course you shoot one and then all three of them blow up. Then there's like a plane chase, you get on the plane, and that's kind of where the demo ends. And then they talk about like how you can approach, you know, like you have Bond, he has his stealth gadgets. So there's ways you can approach stuff, like you can drop smoke bombs and try to sneak around people, or like drop smoke bombs and, you know, take people out when they can't see you. There's ways for you to kind of navigate without being caught. There's ways for you to just be aggressive and fight people. I think, you know, they needed to show up the gameplay. I thought it was a decent enough showcase. I'm going to buy the game because I'm a James Bond horror. I think what somebody said on a podcast reaction I was listening to, that this is like a single A game and like a triple A casing, just because you expect certain things from James Bond and you expect certain things from IO. Because the game, I think it looks fine, but like it's not throwing anybody away graphically. From what I gather from what a lot of people said, I mean, there are times where the frame rate is not steady, but I don't know if it's like 30 or 60 or whatever. It looks fine. I don't think this is like, oh man, the next big gonna blow everybody away game, but it's a solid, I'll spend a weekend or two with it. And then they announced the date of, I think, March 26th or 20, sometime in the back half of March of 2026.
Yeah. Yeah, I did catch that late March 2026.
Yeah.
I'm probably with you, Earl. I will play it. I'm a James Bond fan. I'm interested from that angle, but none of it sounds like amazing.
Yeah. Yes. And that you know, not every game needs to be amazing, but I think it's always that expectation, because like we found out about this game what, 4 years ago or something like that.
Was it that long ago?
I could have sworn it was sometime. Maybe it was. Maybe it was early 2022. But it has been a while.
I remember we knew that IO was working on one. I think we finally got the big reveal earlier this year. Was that it?
So it was announced in November of 2020. So almost five years after it came, by the time it comes out. And I think just that expectation of if you reveal a game that far out,
it best be great.
Yeah. And again, it looks not awful. I don't want to undersell it, but it's not necessary. As somebody who's played a lot of Bond games, I know the model. I think this is what I was, when I was watching the showcase, and I was thinking, I think inherently James Bond is very hard to translate to video games. It's weird to say, because he's had very popular video games. But you get GoldenEye. You get GoldenEye, which is, you know, was the standard bearer of first-person shooter on N64. Bond doesn't talk. And so much of what makes Bond Bond is that he's a smooth talker. He's a wise ass. And you don't get that in GoldenEye. And then I think later games do it, but then you don't necessarily get, because like people are like, oh, Bond has car chases. It's like, he has car chases, but they're exhilarating and thrilling because of how they're framed. Like going through this video game cinematics of like, oh, it's not as fun. It's the same issue. Like I think Uncharted has like one or two car chases, vehicle chases, and I'm like, okay, we're exciting, but they're not, because again, it's so structured. Because it's not like you do anything. It's like, oh, you got off the beaten path, or you didn't follow this exact. Like, you didn't follow this 90% of what you were supposed to do. We're going to fail you for this mission. And like, there's no way to replicate that. And again, kind of give him, like I said, Bond is suave. Bond is very, you know, he's a smooth talker. He does not talk to himself that often. So giving him that trait where he's always like talking to himself is weird as well. I get that as a quote unquote.
It just makes him seem crazy.
Yes.
He's smooth talking himself. All right. Well, that's a few months out, but I'm sure we'll be revisiting. What is the name of the game?
First Light.
Yeah. 007 First Light. We'll be revisiting that come March.
Yeah. Again, I will not be buying a $300 collector's edition. That's for sure.
That's crazy. that's nuts.
Hold on, let me see if I can pull this up real quick, because I'm very curious to see what's actually in it for the price. So it is $300.
Yep.
Let's see, what does it come with? Okay. I hate how websites are designed these days.
I think I got it. So is the Legacy Edition, is that the
sure
that what the Collector's Edition is called?
Yeah, Legacy variant.
Yeah, so it comes with a Deluxe Edition DLC pack, exclusive DLC skins, including 4 exclusive outfits, Gleaming Gadget skin pack, a new weapon skin, Golden Gun, and the Obsidian Gold suit. Comes with Golden Gun figurine with a stand and a secret compartment.
Yeah, I don't know what could go wrong about giving people a gun.
Right. It's a very ugly looking gun, and it comes with the gun and 5 gold bullets.
Sponsored by your local police department.
Yeah. I don't recommend going through airport security with this. You get a certificate of authenticity and a steel case with a magnet and a full game disc. I assume that the $300 is because of this golden gun stand and stuff, because nothing else here like screams $230 worth of shit. Yeah, so Earl, don't buy that.
No, God no.
You could buy the you could just pre-order it, and you will also get that same the outfits and the weapon skin and the gleaming item pack, which you can make all your gadgets gold plated, I guess. And that's just for regular pre-order. So you get a good portion of what's in that collector's edition with the pre-order. Nintendo Online gave us a new game.
Yeah, the big one, the one everybody's been waiting for. I mean,
Forsaken 64. You're right. That's one we've all been waiting for.
Forsaken 64. I mean, that's what all people have been talking about. When is Forsaken 64 coming out? When is Forsaken?
I feel Forsaken before Forsaken comes out.
And not any of us asking what is Forsaken 64.
That's what I was going to ask because I don't. No, I've seen this cover before many times, but I've never played this game.
I ain't ever heard of this game a day in my life. The N64 has like 300 games famously. So it's a hard library to know about. And I'm like, yeah, never heard of this a day in my life.
Good, good. So it was definitely one that we were all definitely waiting for. All right. Well, that is the big update to the Nintendo Classics this month. So no new GameCube game. Just Forsaken 64.
Well, I was going to say, no new GameCube game yet. It is only the first week of September.
Yeah. When did Chibi Robo? That was like middle of August, right? Yeah.
Now, granted, I've also not because Nintendo is one of those companies where, like, yeah, this might be the only thing we get from them this month. Or they also did like updates like the Game Boy emulator, where now you could do like, I think it does HD, and you can remap the buttons and stuff like that. But yeah, Nintendo. Oh, Nintendo.
I do hope we get a GameCube game maybe mid-month. That would be nice.
Yeah. One of those things that's always going to be weird. It's just like third parties where I think at some point, because the GameCube has one of those fascinating libraries, because it's not necessarily super heavy on like iconic first party titles. I think first party wise is probably one of Nintendo's more divisive systems, because like people who like Wind Waker love Wind Waker, people who love Sunshine love Sunshine, but people who hate Wind Waker hate Wind Waker, and people who hate Sunshine are right.
that is the correct approach there.
So yes.
Yeah, so Chibi Robo came August 21st. So there's hope that we get another GameCube game. There are some that I would still like to see.
Golly, dude, I love that system. I am pro GameCube.
There's a lot to see for the GameCube. It's the N64 that I think, like, the N64 is the one that just has such a weird library because it has so few games and like even fewer that are like Nintendo or Nintendo adjacent. Because like I would like to see like the N64 version of Resident Evil 2, for example, because that's not a game that is often, you know, re-released. Would you like Castlevania? That's another one. Castlevania 64. But I think that's on the collection.
No.
Oh, it's not an attraction.
No, so they did the.
I don't think you want to play it.
No, okay, I don't think I want to play
it. Yeah, it's not. They haven't done those games yet because we don't have that or the PlayStation 2 games. We have the Game Boy games, the Game Boy Advance games, the DS games, and the Game Boy and Genesis, Super Nintendo, and Nintendo Entertainment System games. Nothing from before that. Nothing from after that, though. That wasn't on handheld.
The, whatchamacallit, the N64 version of Resident Evil 2 was my first Resident Evil game. It was great.
That is wild. I've never played that version of it, so I'm in.
It's good. It's like the same. It's pretty similar, like.
I'd like to give it a go just to kind of see, you know, because
it's the very small cartridge. Yeah. So I'm sure there were compromises, but you know, when I played it back, you know, it was my first frame of reference really for the series. I was like, man, this is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be thrilled if that kind of hit the service, because I'd really like to. For me, it's just like a weird oddity. Another oddity that I'd like to see hit the classic service is Metal Gear Solid. What's it? The Twin Snakes.
Twin Snakes is not the
game. Yeah, that'd be great.
The GameCube remake of the original game.
Again, another one that exists that does not. I know it's never been released, and I know it has. Let's say out of the track is. I know it's not a lot of people's favorite. They're wrong, but I just like how I like that they just took the absurdity of Metal Gear, and maybe Metal Gear isn't supposed to be absurd, but they took the absurdity of it and made it more absurd.
Yeah, they did it right, I think. So I would love to go back and play that one. And Earl and I have evangelized Skies of Arcadia for years. We'd love to see that, that the GameCube version hit there. And there's tons of games that I'd like to see. The GameCube currently only has, what, five games in their service? So,
yeah. And I mean, I think they're the most obvious, but I think this goes for like, I think Microsoft does a good job, but I think this also goes for Sony. It's like, but like, if you're going to have a streaming classic service, make sure you have a streaming classic service that also includes like these games. And I think, you know, I sometimes understand it and I get it. It's like so many times people are focused on like good games, which is totally fair. But like, I think if you're going to have something that it's like, you also need to have those very questionable games that, yeah, we'll got to see what it's like.
Yeah. Like let people like experience that gaming history, and two, like some of those weird, like mid-tier games, like have people that absolutely adore them.
Yeah.
So you might find somebody new that like just gets really into a really weird, like mid-tier B game or whatever.
The best type of people. And then sometimes it might be a thing where you play a game and like, oh, there's a reason this is left to the, but it's nice to kind of, I tried. Like, yeah. What was it? I think on the N64 it is Winback, which is like a prototypical like third person stealth game, but this was back when we had one analog stick and no real method for cover, and it's like, yeah, Uncharted, you know, does not come out for like another decade, and that really kind of changes the game, but hey, you tried something. It didn't work, but you tried.
I don't know, the reviews here for Winback are generally okay. It looks like it was holding a 75% on the N64.
Yes, but on the N64, again, remember, I would recommend trying.
Yeah.
The N64 N64 is also a different beast. I think the GameCube falls into this as well. I enjoy Nintendo's methodology, but also like some of those games are just, if you do not have that controller, it's so weird to fail modern controllers, because the N64, again, did not have dual analog sticks, so it's not the in mind, and it shows.
Yeah, it's like trying to emulate some N64 stuff can be very weird. Trying to find like proper button mapping.
Yeah.
It can be tough. Any other news that caught your guys' eyes this week?
I'm sure there's something, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well then. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't know if folks talked about this last week, but the Mortal Kombat movie was delayed, what, 6 months into 2027?
No, I think we did not talk about... Oh, no, I think
that might have been this week.
Mortal Kombat
2. Yeah, it got delayed. It was supposed to be out in October. Same with, I guess, the new Silent Hill is also coming out next year now.
I didn't know there was a new... Oh, yeah, there was a new Silent Hill.
Yeah, yeah, but the same guy, the trailer for that was kind of trashed.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine. Like, it was like a 50-second trailer. But
okay, so, yeah, Mortal Kombat 2 was moved to May of next year, so about 7 months delayed. Which I don't think May is a good month for it. I think it's going to get buried, but I don't know what else is out in May. And then,
yeah, like that's a very confident move, or a very overconfident move.
Again, the first one did not set the world on fire. I get it was a pandemic era movie, but it did not set the world. It did decent, but not great. And then the other thing was that Street Fighter. I think we've known about the cast. You talked about the cast. They finally got a date today, and it's going for October of next of 2026. And this is coming from Paramount.
Nice. So that's a year off.
Yeah.
But okay.
To be fair to that, they just started filming.
I heard it's a period piece.
Yes. Oh, God. Oh, God. I hate that people say that, but it's true. Because it takes place in 1993.
Okay, that's not a period piece.
I mean, it is.
What are you talking about? That's a period of time.
I get it. It's a period of time. But like to me, like a period piece is like 1800s, early 1900s. I guess the 90s is a set period.
It's a long time ago now.
Yeah.
It is over 30 years ago.
Jesus.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, but would you consider Back to the Future a period piece?
No.
Well, it came out at its time. You know, it's different.
But that, I mean, because it went back to the 50s. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah, true.
Because, yeah, that's literally the same amount of
but
time.
But it wasn't then. About the 50s. Like,
I mean, it was mostly was about the 50s.
Braveheart, yeah. Or like something that, like that is a period piece.
Yeah, so that's what I'm, what makes Street Fighter a period piece? Like setting it in the 90s doesn't necessarily... Like, what about it is specifically 90s coded, I guess? I guess we'll find out next October.
Everybody's wearing top sneakers. Done.
All right. Everybody has Reebok pumps.
Oh, God.
Return to Silent Hill will be the first of those. It's going to be a busy video game movie year, January 23rd, 2026.
It's going to be a good one is a different question.
Yeah. And is there a second Super Mario Brothers movie?
That is next year.
There better be. I love that movie. It's a great film.
Movie. Yeah, that's next year too, right? April 3rd.
Yes. Because right now it's scheduled to be my birthday movie. So yeah, and I mean, I guess it's it's $1.5 billion. They don't need to start marketing it now. I'm just surprised that we haven't heard anything. But I guess around the same time, this is when if the Nintendo does this direct that's rumored for next week, maybe that's when they'll announce the additional cast members for the Mario movie.
You'll see what new additions they flesh that lineup out with.
I mean, I assume Yoshi has to be one of them.
Yeah, but you're not gonna get like a named cast member, right? To like voice Yoshi. That'll be hysterical if they just get somebody to like make Yoshi noises.
Chris Pratt, I hear he's available. Yoshi noises.
Chris Pratt as Mario and Yoshi. Yeah, so at least 4 video game movies next year then, I guess.
Oh, God. Oh,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, played some games, this past week. Jeff, you and I have played a bit of Shinobi Art of Vengeance. I believe that's what it's called. What it's called? Art of Vengeance? Art of Vengeance.
Yes. Yes.
I think it's pretty cool.
Dude. This might surprise you, as I did not really care for Ninja Gaiden Ragebound, but I think Shinobi is incredible. I think it's an incredible action game. Like, it's so fucking, like, the combat is so good, and the art style is amazing. I'm very into it. How far are you, Chris?
Where did I just? I did the mountain, and then I did the Festival of Lights. I think I'm going back to Joe's house.
Okay.
So I'm like,
did maybe you do the submarine?
No.
Okay.
No. So I think I don't think I did a submarine. No.
There's, you remember, there's a level called Submarine Base. And okay. It is like its own mini little Metroidvania. I was stuck in there for days, dude. Like, I finally got through that level today. Like, it was so long.
Yeah, there's a good mix of, like, those types of levels, like Metroid style, like, explorer levels that are actually pretty big.
Yeah, and this is huge.
Then, like, straight action levels and chase levels as well. Like, there's a good mix of stuff.
You get the bonus levels that I never pass, but they're cool, like where you're like riding a wolf or what the hell is the second one I unlocked today? You're riding something in all of them, like you're just flying across the level and then trying to see how far you can go to get a bonus. I don't know about you, I've not passed the bonus levels.
I think I did. I've only done one, I think, and it was like always on my dog, yeah. I think I did pass that one. I did reach the end. That's the only one I
did. Did you recall getting something significant for it? Because
I think you get like a ninpo, so like
a
magic that you can add to one of your slots.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, combat's good. The story's dumb as shit, and it's not as much story as Ninja Gaiden had, but I think it's like infinitely dumber than it too. Like, it's when they add it in, it's like, I don't really need this. I could do without the dialogue here. Just let me, you know, keep flashing fools and throwing my little ninja knives. Some really cool platforming as well.
It feels so good. Like, it feels so smooth. Like, you know, you have to double jump. You got the dash in the midair and all that, all the stuff you'd want.
Some really like well-designed like areas too, where it's like, all right, so you have this claw like that you can climb up walls with, and then you have to like dash across a chasm.
Yeah.
And then do a double jump to get up here to unlock a door so that you can progress to the next area. It's like really cool stuff.
And the game could be challenging, but it's never been annoyingly so to me. Like, it's always, I always feel like I'm more, like, I'll get to a boss and I'm more scared of the boss than I should have been. Like, I was, you know, it gave me a little workout, but it was all right.
Yeah. I do wonder if some of that is you coming off of playing a little Ninja Gaiden, and those bosses were fucking brutal.
Yeah.
And the bosses here are tough, but like, they have a very discernible like pattern that you can figure out. Like, you might die like one or two times, but like after that, you're just like, oh, I know what I gotta do, and like, as long as I execute, I'll be fine.
The other thing that's cool though is if you die enough on them, you're I think they call it a rage meter, your ultimate move, like that meter slowly fills up every time you die, so it's like, eventually, you're going to have this move that could, like, basically wipe out half their life bar, if not more. Which, you know. So die enough times, you're going to get past that boss. I think that's neat.
Yeah, it's like, we're going to even the playing field for you, because you're having a hard time. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, and just the combat is just, man, there's so many meters, but it all just feels so good, like, like, there's even a meter underneath the enemies. When that fills up, it'll, like, make a red thing pop up above their head. And then you hit both the, like, shoulder buttons. And it fucking does, like, an auto-kill move on them that refills your health. And, yeah, dude, like, I don't know. It just, I was, like, very, like, I wasn't really looking forward to Ninja Gaiden or this, even though I liked both those games back in the day. But I was just like super surprised by how good this was. Like I just randomly bought it, gave it a chance, and I was like, damn, this is fucking awesome. I probably would be done by it by now if I wasn't playing like 16 games at once. But yeah, that's like when I played Silksong today, I was like, dude, this ain't got shit on fucking Shinobi. So I just went back to Shinobi.
Yeah. And so I will like Shinobi, but both Shinobi and Ninja Gaiden put out demos, of which I played both. And the demo for Shinobi is not good. Because like the game started up and it's like, I think like it's kind of just like that opening tutorial area, which is very slow and it's not very engaging. And then it just ends. Like you don't really get to do a whole lot. And once you get past that tutorial area, in the game, like the game is really good. There's like lots of cool combat. There's lots of enemy variety. The bosses are fun. Like you don't get to see any of that in the demo. And it's kind of unfortunate because like I came out of that demo going, yeah, Ninja Gaiden is kind of exactly what I expected. It's going to be fucking hard. It looks great. But it plays fucking awesome. And then it's like Shinobi plays slow. And, you know, once you get past that tutorial area, it's like Shinobi does not play slow. It's like very fluid. It's very smooth. Feels great. And as you said, it looks great. It's like looks kind of like a painting come to life.
Like a hand-drawn animation or something.
Yeah, it's really, really awesome. Great, you know, alternate to Ninja Gaiden.
And if this is like any indication of Sega's revivals that they're doing, this is a great first step. Like it is, it's kind of blowing me away. Like I cannot believe how good it is.
Yeah. So if you like 2D action games, it's a good one. I think it's like $24 or something like that too.
It's worth it. It is like a meaty game. Like you're not going to beat it in an afternoon.
Yeah. No. It's there's a lot to it, and there's like a lot more to it than like I'm even exploring right now, because you'll get powers or skills and stuff later in the game.
You go replay the levels.
And like you'll be able to access parts of those levels. There's like sub challenges, there's elite squads. If you kill all three of them, get like something special. So there's like a bunch of different challenges and reasons to go back. Other than just like getting like a high score or whatever. Really, really cool game. Sticking with the ninjas though. Jeff, I caught you playing Assassin's Creed Shadows.
Yeah, you will. You will do that. I will be playing it quite a bit. It's good. This game, before I get into like how I like the game itself, which I do, this game feels so overstuffed. Like it is fucking nuts. Like you could just feel like thousands of people working on this game. There's so many systems, so many things to keep track of. Like I'm like 8 or 9 hours into it now, and there's still things that I'm like learning and trying to understand about the systems in the game. Like it's just like it is a lot, dude. Like even to the point where like I found that they made the way like the objective screen like unnecessarily complicated. So like any other game, it would be like, here's your main objective, here's your side quests that you found, and just click which one you want to select, like to track. And here it's like this giant fucking chart with a bunch of fucking targets on it. And all sorts of shit all over. Like, I don't even know what I'm looking at half the time. And then there's little symbols under them with little missions. I'm like, don't really love that. And also, it's like, it is weird how you don't typically, sometimes you do, but typically you don't get markers on where you're supposed to go. You get clues. It's just like, yeah, they're north of this area. They're west of this area. Go find them. And it's like, dude, the map is fucking huge. Like, what are you talking about?
But you can send out your little scouts based on
that. Well, that's another system you have to fucking learn. That's what I'm saying. It's like, so, like, you have the scouts, you have a fucking base that you're supposed to be building. I'm like, why is there so many things in this game? The further you get into it, the more you like you get your arms around it and kind of understand what's going on. But, and I also found that the, like the first 2 hours were so boring, so many cutscenes. But once you get into the, like the actual game, like the core gameplay, like especially the stealth shit is so much fucking fun that I could just play it forever. Like I will probably easily put 100 hours in this bullshit. A lot of that is just me running around rooftops and assassinating people from above like Batman.
Nice.
I love that shit.
To beat it, you're gonna have to definitely put some time in.
I know I played Valhalla, so like I know, and I know this is not as big, but it feels like it. Like it just feels like there's so much to do, and that you actually have to do a lot of it. Like, you know, gathering supplies is important because you need to build up your base, because that's how I'm gonna build up my scouts, I think, right? Like, and so it's just like you have to do it all. But luckily, like I said, the core gameplay is very, very fun. I'm going to be upset when they switch me to the other, because I know there's like another character.
You'll like him. He's fun too.
And you don't, like, I played most of the game as Naoe, but yeah. you'll like the opportunity to be able to flip to Yasuke. He plays so different. Than Naoe, and like he's just a fucking tank. Like it's fun sometimes to just run into a castle and just
kill
everything. Destroy everybody.
I guess I just in a game like this where you're building up your character, which is another awesome part of the recent Assassin's Creed. Like I just become invested in that character, and I don't want to be taken away from that. And so
the other thing about him is that you're not like you don't level up the two characters separately.
He'll have stats and shit when I get them.
So, exactly. So you'll get like all the upgrades that you had for your current character. You'll be able to build the Yasuke.
That's cool.
But as you play with one or the other, you're upgrading both of them.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. I was hoping that. But you know, in the first hour, you get to play as them both, right?
Yeah.
And initially you start as him, and then when I switched to her, I was like annoyed by that, but then I was like very quickly like, oh no, this is like the shit I like. I love sneaking around and killing people, and like I just love darting down, assassinating someone from like jumping off a building from like 30 feet above, assassinating them, and then shooting a grappling hook out of there. Like it's just fucking, again, that's like the best part of the Batman games, and it's just so much fun here. So yeah, I'm enjoying it quite a bit, but it's like, dude, I'm worried about this because like there's games coming out I want to play, and this seems like a real commitment. Like, dear Lord. I'll probably be playing this like in between every other game all year or who knows what. Like, it's going to take me a while.
The other thing I'll note about the character switching is that like there's very few times where like it forces you to play as one or the other. There are some story, there are like definitely some story missions that like require you playing as Naoe or Yasuke, but for the most part, like 95% of the game, they give you a choice. Like, do you want to play as Naoe? Do you want to play as Yasuke? So if you're like, I don't want to play as the tank, I just want to like do ninja shit, you can most of the time. So
enjoy. It's solid, dude. It's just, again, you could feel like, man, the budget and the staff were just like out of control on the, like it has been with these games for a while, but it's just like, dude, why do you have all these systems? Like, what the fuck were you thinking? But again, as you get into it, I feel like I'm getting a handle on it, but dear Lord, dude, like it is a lot to take in at first.
Never ending systems.
Yeah.
The assassination board, like the objective board becomes massive.
It's confusing though at first. Like, I'm just like, what am I, like, I'm genuinely like, what am I supposed to be doing? And I'll find something on there and I'll go do it. But then like on the way to going to do so, if I see any castle or anything, I just start fucking around and like, which is useful because like I've gotten some pretty good gear out of just fucking around like that. And also, you know, collecting the resources will eventually help me to upgrade my base or whatever.
Yep. You want to upgrade your base and add stuff in there. I can't remember what they're just basically these little hideouts in each of the towns though. Sometimes mm-hmm. some of the cities have multiple hideouts. And you'll want to use your money to like buy them as well. Because they can become like fast travel points and mm-hmm. You can get missions there and you can like refill your equipment at them. So like they're not expensive. They're like 800 or something gold. And by the end of the game,
you'll have, they are. Okay.
Yeah, you'll have so much money by the end of the game. Yeah. Like it's kind of trivial, but yeah, you'll want to like buy them because it's like building up. Basically, it's like a base away from your base.
Okay, I had seen the on the map. It was like it's 800 points. You could buy this. I'm like, buy what? Yeah, and I'm getting viewpoints at where I go. Like so, like those act as fast travel. I'm like, yes. What am I supposed to buy here? So it's like a base away from your base.
Yeah, and sometimes like the viewpoints are not. Like, oh shit, like that is four territories away.
And
it's like, yeah, there's a viewpoint there, but then like I still gotta travel once I fast travel to that. So it's like you could just, you know, buy yourself a little base in the city and you're good to go. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying Assassin's Creed Shadows. Awesome. I like that you are enjoying this like latter day Assassin's Creed after spending a decade hating the series. So
yeah, I just feel like they got so much better with the mechanics in it. And then also just like that RPG element is what drives it a lot for me. Like to keep playing these. I can't believe you guys have beaten this game. Like I just, holy shit.
Well, it came out.
It only took like 60 hours.
But yeah, but I just remember like Valhalla came out. I was the only one that beat it for like years, and then you guys like
I think you're the only one.
I think you're
still the only one. Just like I put like 30 hours into that game. It's just this one is more. It is for as big as Shadows is not as big as Valhalla. In the way that the mission structures are. Like okay. It's a little more straightforward in how you progress, and Valhalla really had you like building out your town and kind of like going and doing that stuff, and it just took a really, really long time to do anything in that game. Japan also way more populated. Like there's more cities, there's more towns than that era that they were in with Valhalla. So. Glad you're enjoying it. Good stuff. Earl, what have you been playing?
As I say often, I don't play video games anymore. I'm just here for the hooks. No, I don't think I've really gotten to play much new recently. More of Orcs Must Die, more Fortnite. I've finally gone back to Donkey Kong, trying to wrap that up.
Where are you at in Donkey Kong?
I just beat Grumpy Kong for the second time, so I think I'm heading to sub-level 12, maybe?
I think I might just be a little bit heavy in that. Did you get the snake?
No, I've not gotten the snake yet. It was in that weird, I didn't actually like that level. What is it? Like the in-between, it's like just a bunch of tunnels that you're digging through.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I think I am just a little bit ahead of you on that. So maybe we'll finish it this month.
I plan on finishing it. If it's who knows when. That's always been the issue.
So Donkey Kong, what's the next big Nintendo game that they have? I know Jeff was playing Kirby.
That's Pokemon!
Pokemon.
Yeah, Pokemon right now.
When is that? Is that October, November?
Like mid-October.
Okay.
Nice, guys. We're getting
good.
Before that.
What was that, Jeff?
Metroid before that.
We were talking about big games.
when are we getting Metroid?
Dude, I've been saying for fucking a month or two now, it's not coming this year.
It's really not looking like it now.
I feel like
there is a rumored direct coming up. There's always a rumored direct coming up. So we'll see. But I just feel like it is fucking September and we don't know the release date of this game. Haven't seen a ton of it. Like, I don't know. I don't believe it.
The flip side is this is Nintendo and them, like, the announcement of release date is it, we earned about Pokemon's release date in July, and that's out in a month. We earned about Kirby's Air Ride's release date 2 weeks ago. So again, it's feasible that they could put it in October. It could literally just be like the end of September. Because in their head, they're like, we announced this game. We showed it to you twice already this year. So that's why I don't think, that's why I think it's going to make this year. I just don't know when. Because in my head, I just assumed Pokemon would be their big November game. Metroid would be October. And Kirby would be December. And then none of that's happened. So,
When is Air Ride?
It's November 16th or whatever. It's like their big holiday.
So Pokemon is October.
Yeah.
Kirby's November. Maybe Metroid early December?
Possibly. Because they also have the Hyrule Warriors game out this year as well at some point. So they have to start two games for the rest of the year. At least two games for the rest of the year. Like, I know Hyrule Warriors is probably... Well, I think Hyrule Warriors might be bigger than Metroid. But, yeah. It's an
interesting right, we will see. Tony?
Yes.
You're playing some basketball.
I am.
How is 2K26?
Very good. I've been playing through the My Career mode. This year, interestingly enough, the player is like this unknown guy from a small town in Vermont. Which, you know,
so, like you,
like me, exactly like me. So he is trying to get, like, you know, drafted into the NBA, but playing against teams in Vermont, you don't get noticed at all. So he's trying to, like, get into the club scene in LA. So he does, he like starts doing some videos online and he gets noticed and he gets an invite to go out to LA and he gets into the LA basketball club scene for one season. And so the career mode is like you get all these like big club games. And then when you're finished with the club, it like your player doesn't get a look from a lot of big colleges. So he goes to Europe. He play in Europe for a year, which is kind of cool. But each game in this like club or like Europe scene, you have like a rival that you're trying to like outperform. And so before each game, there's like this scene where you like meet them and they like mock you or whatever. And like, you're not good. I'm going to play so much better. It's just all like classic NBA 2K bad dialogue, making fun of each other stuff, whatever. But there's this one club game where the guy you're going up against is like, he starts making fun of Vermont. And he's like, I'm going to send you to the town of Vermont. I'm never going to hear about you again. The place sucked. Like, I'm like, I took that personally. Like, how dare you make fun of that? So I've never done this in an NBA 2K game before, but I was like hunting this guy. Like, the point in this particular game is to outperform the guy. And like, I was like falling screens to like get them to switch so that he was the guy guarding me. I'm like, I'm just going to score on you every time. I didn't miss a shot the entire game. I put up 66 points. The game, by the way, is only 2 10-minute halves. I put up 66 points on this guy. But the other thing is, like, I don't normally pay attention on defense. I don't care. The game's about scoring. Playing by myself doesn't matter. This time I'm like, you're not fucking scoring at all. I outscored him 66-2. He scored 2 points that game. So yes, I did take that little bit personally. I had to, you know, engage my rage. But now I've made it through that whole sequence. I'm now an actual NBA player. One of the interesting things about this game, you end up getting drafted in the second round, which they tell you is advantageous because that means you can choose the team that drafts you by like refusing to play for any other team.
Okay.
So I've never played for the Nuggets, so I want to play for the Nuggets. We'll play with Jokic. So I'm on the Nuggets. I played a few games now. Quite enjoyable. It's playing basically the same way that played last year. One interesting thing about it, last year the city, because they have the city every year where you walk around and you can go out and do stuff. Last year it was giant. This year they've really I won't say they've pared it down. Like, it seems to have the same amount of stuff in it, but they kind of optimized the sizing. So the world is smaller, but it's easier to get to everything. And there seems to be the same amount of activities in the world.
Okay.
I don't know. Before you could spend 10 minutes walking from one end of the city to the other, which is insane. I just want to go play basketball. Why am I walking through the entire thing? I will say though, I still haven't found the street ball portion of it because I spent so much time in the my career and the NBA stuff. I don't know where that is. I'll have to go walking around and find it.
Cool. Sounds like it is another solid game.
It is. And the story is fun and it's interesting. So I like it so far. I don't know how much it involves the actual NBA portion. We'll see.
Well, excited to hear how that plays out for you. You play anything else this past week?
More Total War Warhammer 3. I finished my Tomb Kings campaign earlier this evening, but let me figure out what I'm playing next.
All right. Yeah. Still out there killing all the orcs, or
yeah, I think I'm going to play more Warhammer. I think my next campaign is going to be Grand Cathay, which is like China.
Okay.
With dragons and stuff.
That's neat.
Yeah.
There was just a huge sale on all the Total War Warhammer games this past weekend.
There was.
I think it was a big Sega sale, but
I bought the character I'm going to play as.
Yeah.
Because it was $4.
Nice.
But I own most of the other DLC already.
Yeah, I mean, if you already have everything, but not much you can do there. But
yeah.
All right. Well, that is what we have been playing. Before we jump into talking about Resident Evil, it's video game tangentially related. I put together my Halo Scorpion tank Mega Block set that I had on my shelf here for a while. And Mega Blocks suck. just want to throw that out there.
they
are garbage Legos.
They're bad. The directions are terrible. Awful. The actual blocks themselves are not all the same.
Yeah, they don't snap together well. I've never had a problem snapping Legos together, but I'm wiggling simple blocks, like a straight four block and a two block, just trying to get them to connect to each other. And it's why do I have to wiggle these into each other? That shouldn't be. As you said, the instructions are awful. Lego's really gotten it down when you open up a set, especially a bigger set with 1,000 pieces or so. They have the bags numbered. There's 17 bags in this box. You don't need to open all of them at once. No, Mega Blocks is just we don't number our bags. And also, all the shit's just random. So
Yeah, I know this tank has 700 pieces. Please empty all 700 pieces onto your table and then fish through them like it's a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
Just like a miserable building experience getting that thing together. And the instructions are wrong, so I had to like modify some of it just to get it to build correctly because they were like, oh, you need this piece and this piece. I'm like, those, I don't have those pieces. Like, they either you didn't send them or the instructions are incorrect here and I'm not supposed to use them. And it had other piece, like the instructions are dark, and specifically with the tank, like it's camo, like it's dark green and black, and the Lego instructions, like they raise up the blocks, like you could see the blocks clearly, like, hey, here's the platform you're supposed to put in, here's where you're supposed to put it at. And the Mega Blocks is just like, yeah, here's a 16 block like platform that's black. And also, if you look really, really closely, you might be able to see each of the individual circles, like the to put them on. Good luck. Figure it out on your own. So yeah, I have one more Mega Block set on a shelf here. And I'm like, maybe I should put that together first and then just never ever touch Mega Blocks again. I wish that Microsoft and Bungie had partnered with them for Destiny. I think Assassin's Creed has partnered with them for their stuff. I wish they would just go over to Lego. You get a much better product there.
My son is so excited that they've switched the license for Pokemon from Mega Blocks to Lego.
It's now with Lego, yeah.
Yeah, but if
no sets have come out yet, but there will be some.
It's just, it's your wallet excited.
Is my wallet excited? Well, I mean, that's a different question.
Yeah, like, but I will say this, for like Mega Box sets are considerably cheaper than Lego sets for the same size.
But there's a reason, right?
Exactly.
Because they stuck.
I would rather pay the extra, like, I think I bought that Scorpion tank set for like $60. I would have gladly paid $100 for a Lego set that just, what, it would have made the building experience so much better.
Yeah. Oh no, just because I could have swore I saw something about like the Lego Pikachu being like $300 to $400, but
it could be one of, like, they could have two different Pikachus though. Like, one is their, what they consider like their display ones, and they're normally the more expensive ones that like there's a whole bunch of like Star Wars ones that are like $200-$300, but then they have like what they consider their play sets, and they're not quite as detailed as the display sets, but you know, they're still well built and fun to put together. So maybe there's different Pikachus that would save Tony some money.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, just thought that it was tangentially related since it was a Halo set. And it was miserable. Resident Evil is our latest film that we are throwing into our video game movie rankings. Earl, tell us about Resident Evil by Paul W.S. Anderson from 2002.
Well, I was going to say it's been since like 2002 since I watched it. Because I think I watched this like 3 weeks ago for this podcast. And I think the first time we did it, it was just a super busy week.
Yeah.
But that said, I
have Gamescom.
Yes, and it was a really good Gamescom. Well, good of not, yeah, whatever.
So busy Gamescom.
Yes, there we go. And yeah, so I've seen this movie multiple times. Resident Evil, up front, really nothing to do with the games. I think
very little. I mean, there's zombies, there is viruses, and the Umbrella Corporation. That's it.
That's about it. Like, we've seen movies where, like, they've taken creative liberties. We've seen movies where they've tried to adapt stuff. We've seen movies like Wing Commander, where it plays into the plot of the game. This is just Resident Evil in name. That said, it kind of works for the movie, because it goes for more of a haunted house, or haunted, crazed mansion survival-esque thing, where you do get some of the Resident Evil supernatural elements. You do get the zombies. You do get the liquor. It works. It works. It throws you into an environment where you don't necessarily know what's going on right off the bat. Our main character has amnesia. She's being rescued, or she thinks she's being rescued. And stuff goes to hell. The building is trying to kill them or keep them contained. I mean, it's kind of like the building is, but the building is also trying to keep the stuff inside the building contained. What is it? Red Queen or something like that? White Queen? I forget the name of the actual like program. Which does
It is the Red Queen.
Yes. And we'll get to this, the 60s. I think it does come back eventually. That's an actual, I think it's, you know, it's a kind of modeled after somebody's daughter, but I think you find out about the daughter later on. Or they come, it's somewhere the Red Queen comes back. There is some really fun action sequences. I think one of my favorite kills in a horror movie is the one with the laser room, where you think, I don't know the actor or the character's name. I just know him as the dad or the stepdad from Arrow. But like, he's like the sergeant or whatever, and he gets, like, he tries to jump over the laser, and the laser's just being a dick, so it's actually just following them, and so it cuts one dude in half, and the other guy thinks he broke it, and it just kind of slices through him, and you just see his head just kind of drop down. Well, no, you don't, but like drop into cubes and stuff like that. It's like I said, Resident Evil name only, but I think they do a really good job of making a very entertaining horror movie. I can't even compare it to Resident Evil. I can't even like, oh, you know what, it takes this. It doesn't really take you anything. You name this anything else, and it's the same movie without Resident Evil. Umbrella is the poncho company or something like that, and it's no different of a movie.
It's more like, as an adaptation, it is more like just a sci-fi horror action film than like an actual adaptation of Resident Evil. Outside of that, you know, they named the T-Virus, the Umbrella Corporation's mentioned, and as you said, the liquor and zombies, but there's not like a, oh yeah, I remember this from the game, and like they're adapting the actual storyline of the games. Like, they're doing something weird and on its own.
Yeah, because I don't think any of the characters in this are actual Resident Evil characters either.
No.
I will add with the caveat, in case somebody's like, I'm actually in the future. I do know that one of them does become a Resident Evil character. I mean, spoilers for the next movie. Her quote-unquote like boyfriend becomes Nemesis.
Oh, James, is that James Purfoy's character?
Sure. Honestly, we'll go through these movies. I will know the name characters from Resident Evil that they start introducing in the next one. I know Alice, and Alice is probably the only character I remember the name of throughout the series. She's the main character. I know, again, spoilers, I know Michelle Rodriguez's character comes back in a later one. I know, she's dead, but somehow she comes back. And that is one of the beauties of this franchise, and I'm kind of curious to see how it plays out. Because I think the next few are the next few Resident Evil, but they're the streak of, there's six of them over, like, I think a 12-year period.
Yeah.
And
Resident Evil Apocalypse, I believe, is next. And it's ooh. My memory of it is awful.
Yes, it is. I mean, I will give some spoilers. It is very much one of those things where, like, it's like, you know, like how, I don't know if the Star Trek, where everybody's like, all the even number Star Trek movies are good and all the odd ones aren't bad, but they're not as great. This is kind of the opposite, where I think all the even number ones are the bad ones and the odd number ones are the better ones. So we'll see. But we do have, we had two movies to, before that. And
I can't wait to revisit Apocalypse.
The next few months are just going to be terrible. Interesting. It's going interesting.
Thanks, Earl. Thanks.
It's like trying to cover it up. Like, it's not going to be that like, bad.
I'm not trying to ruin your life. It's fine. You'll be okay.
Jeff, Tony, have you seen Resident Evil? Did you watch it?
So I'd seen it previously. Yeah. I didn't watch it this time around because these kind of movies just aren't my thing.
Fair enough.
Video game movies or Resident Evil movies?
Both.
I mean, there are some video game movies that are fine. Resident Evil, I just really don't have a whole lot of interest.
That's fair. Jeff, have you seen... you've seen Resident Evil, right? Did we lose Jeff? He's muted.
I think Jeff just abandons us when we
talk. We're better off when Jeff's muted, I think. Make fun of him, he doesn't even.
He's sitting in the dark, muted. It's a very sad existence today.
There's a glass of whiskey and a cigarette.
he's living his best life, just listening to us talk about Resident Evil. All right. Well, where are we ranking this? Tony, from your memory from previous, what do you give Resident Evil 2002?
B tier.
What was that? B?
No, I said C.
C. Okay. C. All right.
It's not unwatchably bad.
No, it's, I mean, outside of that, it's it's actually, I think, a decently watchable B movie sci-fi kind of horror film. So I'm with you on that. I am also placing it in B tier, C tier. Sorry.
No, I was gonna. I think I'd put it in B tier.
Okay.
Because I mean, like I said, I think I said this about most of these so far. I do own this. I own all the Resident Evil movies. I mean, I own Mario, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. I don't own Wing Commander and Tomb Raider. But I think this is a movie that I would go back and watch, and I have on my own, because I do think it's a really solid, like, horror, like a B horror movie. Again, the notion of like ranking it in terms of a video game movie. If you know nothing about Resident Evil, you'll know nothing about Resident Evil coming out of this movie.
This is true.
So it's like one of those things where like somebody got a name and like we're gonna do something with it. I will say, and this is I think this is the best of them because of that. The rest of them, in some way or fashion, tries to incorporate more of the game elements. And I do think sometimes it is to the detriment of the movie, because the movie's logics are so inconsistent, because they're like, we'll get to it, but like you can tell like when Resident Evil 4 had to come out, like, oh, we got to get the giant dude with the axe or like the sledgehammer into it. It's like, where do these people come from? This doesn't make any sense. And the logic of the world you've set up. But we'll go with it.
I think I'm gonna move mine up to B tier as well. I mean, I have Mortal Kombat and Tomb Raider there. Resident Evil is one that I would go back and watch again. It's fine. I think that it fits there. Since Jeff's not responding, I'm gonna put it you're back. So Jeff, where would you rank Resident Evil 2002?
I've seen it like when it came out, so I did not watch it again. I don't remember liking it, and thought that even if you accept it as doing its own thing, it wasn't great. What did you guys? I didn't hear where you guys put it.
Tony put it as C tier. Earl and I both have it at B tier.
I would put it at C at best.
Okay. That's fair. Which puts us in a tie for B and C.
Well, I'm gonna recommend lower B, just because the people who did actually watch it and put it in B. Remember to put it in C.
Well, we've all watched it. Yes. I think that's like we've all watched.
I just don't, even back in the day, I was like watching it hammered at like 3 a.m. when it came out. And I was in the right mindset for it. And I was just like, I don't know. It just feels cheap and generic. And I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of it. I do want to see them. I want to watch them all one day, but.
We're just a couple months away, Jeff, from watching Resident Evil Apocalypse. Which makes the mistake, I think, of trying to be too video gamey.
And that's where it falls. But there's a lot more stuff for me for that. So.
Yes. So what is our next what is our next video game movie, Earl?
Lara Croft Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life. Just rolls right off the tongue.
Sure.
I'm just gonna write it in as Lara Croft 2 to remember for later. So Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life. Is that also 2002 or is that
2003? 2003. All right. So movies don't really get good for like the next two decades or so. But just to kind of give you folks a quick glimpse into the rest of the year, because this Lara Croft will be this month.
Mm-hmm.
Timing wise, this actually works out, but it's House of the Dead is next month.
Yikes, that one's gonna be rough.
Yeah, that one I do want folks to watch. Resident Evil Apocalypse will be November, and then Alone in the Dark will be December. And I actually don't think Alone in the Dark is one of those movies that I'm going to sit here and say I've not seen. And then I'm going to find some evidence that I have seen it before. And I either hated it or just don't remember anything about it. And it always falls into two camps and that it's so boring I just kind of zone out. Or I got so drunk that I just forgot the back half of the movie. So
I have seen it. Uwe Boll.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we're getting into his era. He directs, I believe, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 video game movies.
House of the Dead, Alone in the Dark, In the Name of the King.
Blood Rain
and Postal?
Yeah, and Far Cry.
Jesus Christ.
There was a Far Cry movie?
I was about to say, I bet somebody's going to make, there's a Far Cry movie.
What?
I don't know if I've seen that one. I've seen the other ones. I'm not sure if I've seen.
And you also have to like take into account, like, this is a Far Cry movie. Like, before Far Cry is kind of the thing it is. I mean, I guess it's, but like, this is.
It's like based on the first game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Alone in the Dark, though, starred Christian Slater, Tara Reid, and somebody else. Stephen Dorff.
Chucky? No. Is that Chucky?
Yeah, that was when Germany was just giving Uwe Boll a bunch of money to film shit. And that's how he got like Jason Statham and Burt Reynolds, Ray Liotta in The Name of the King.
It's also where I learned to I don't have any problem with him, but it's also where I'm like, oh, Ben says you will do anything for a paycheck, because I believe he's in Name of the King as well, and I think he's in Blood Rain.
Ben Kingsley is in Blood Rain along with Michael Madsen, Michelle Rodriguez. Holy hell.
Yeah,
it's a shame that we just couldn't get in on his raining of cash down on video game movies. But before we get to the Uwe Boll run, we have Lara Croft's Tomb Raider, Cradle of Life. It is on, looks like it's on Prime Video.
So it's on
Amazon or MGM Plus if you have either one of those.
And I'm sure most people are like, what's MGM Plus?
Fair enough. I'm on Just Watch, and that's where it says it. It's also on Hoopla, but it is it's leaving by the end of the month. So if you have Hoopla,
and it's this month's movie, so
yeah, so watch it on Hoopla. That is the free library one, right?
Like, yeah.
So if you have a library card, link it up with that and go watch Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life. It is a mouthful with Angelina Jolie. We'll be talking about that in a few weeks. And we will have more games to talk about next week. I'm sure Jeff and I will continue to play Shinobi. Tony's going to continue to dunk on dorks in NBA 2K. Earl's going to continue to not play anything but Fortnite.
Yes, I will give Hollow Knight Silk Song a try just to see how much I not hate it. I just know this game, like I don't like hard games. I could come out and say that right now in this podcast. I just don't like hard games. I want to enjoy my time.
Yeah. There is a demo out, and I'm drawing a blank on the name, but it's the Square Enix HD 2D.
Is that The Adventures of Elliot or something?
The like Adventures that? Of Elliot, yeah. I want to try that out. There's a demo up on Switch 2. It evidently is like a 2D Zelda game. So I want to give that a look and see. So maybe we could, some of us should download that if you like 2D Zeldas.
I can
But we'll be back next week. Jeff, say good night.
Good night.